All right, all right, all right. Hey, many of you have been here before when my friend Pastor Jason Turner has preached, and he and I already chatted a little bit, so you kind of know a little bit about him. So I think maybe the only thing to add is just to let you know that I so deeply respect this man. He's a man of God. He's an incredible pastor. He's an amazing leader, and he is an even better friend to me. So I'm so grateful for God just putting him in my life. I think every time I'm with him, I know that at least three things are going to happen. One thing is we're going to laugh really hard. Yes, it's good. It's fun. Sometimes we're going to laugh at things that we wouldn't say in front of you, but they're still, you know, man of God type things. We're going to laugh really hard. We're going to eat something good for sure. But I know that I'm always coming away feeling encouraged and blessed by something. I know that happens when I hear him preach too. So and if you've heard Jason preach, you know that's true. You're going to come away with something good. So will you give a warm welcome to our brother, Pastor Jason Turner.
Well, good morning to everybody. It is such a pleasure to be here as I share it with the first portion of your congregation. It's a joy to be here because it's like you know when you know you have your family and you know you have your house, but then you have that cousin that you like and you like going to their house. This is like our cousin's house. We like y'all don't like y'all don't have cousins y'all like, no, aunties, friend, anybody? Okay. Anyway, so it's just a pleasure to be here. Because it's just it doesn't I don't know how to say it. I don't feel like I have to impress you. I don't feel like I have to, you know, turn cartwheels and be like, we could just have a conversation, we could talk and share with you what God's heart is, and I love being here. So I appreciate you guys always extending your arms towards us, accepting us as your sister church. What Pastor Doug did this morning, not many churches would do, and I'm honored by his friendship. So, do me a favor, give your pastor and Miss Heidi, give them a great hand for their leadership and just their beauty. So, Pastor Doug told me I had an hour and 20 minutes, so I'm going to. Y'all like, yeah, you have it, but we're not going to be here that long. So let's jump into the word. Go with me in your Bible to Exodus, the 17th chapter, and the beginning at the 10th verse, and we're going to go to the 13th verse. Exodus 17, 10 through 13. We'll wait a few moments. Is it going to pop up on the screen? There we go. And here's what it says. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Ur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Ur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. From these scriptures, we get our thought for this morning, which is the help I didn't know I needed. Again, the help I didn't know I needed. At this point in the scripture, we see just three chapters earlier that Moses has led 3.5 Israelites out of Egyptian bondage and captivity. He's led them into freedom, and he's led them to the bank of the Red Sea. That normally would be okay. But when they turned around and looked behind them, they saw that their captors that had released them just a few weeks earlier are now very mad and want to recapture them. And so they're on their way, Pharaoh and other Egyptians on their horses and carriages, and they're on their way to try to retake the Israelites. The Israelites then turned to Moses, who led them out of captivity through the plagues, told them what to do, that the plagues impacted the Egyptians but didn't touch them. So he's a proven leader that hears from God, gives direction, and if you follow that direction, everything in your life and your family is going to be all right. A proven leader. They turned to the proven leader and said, "You tricked us. You brought us out here to die. Were there not enough graves in Egypt? How could you do this?" And Moses, in righteous indignation, and again, I'm paraphrasing, take time to read it. It's a beautiful story. There's movies all about it, some true, not so much, some maybe. But Moses then turns to them and says to them, "Hush, be quiet." I'm paraphrasing again. He then tells them, "Stand still and see the salvation of your Lord. If he got us out of Egypt, surely he'll get us out of this." Amen? Then Moses turns away from the people and turns to God and says, "God, we in trouble. There's a bunch of people back there. And God, I don't know exactly what to do. What are you going to have me to do?" Moses talked real strong in front of the people. But when he turned away from the people, he was like, "God, if you don't help, we in trouble." And God talks back to Moses and says to Moses, "Moses, grab the staff that I gave you, and then I'm going to tell you what to do." So Moses takes the staff. This is not that actual staff. It's a mop stick, but just stay with me. Moses takes the rod, and God says, "Now stand in front of the Red Sea." So he stands in front of the Red Sea. He says, "Now hold up the staff. He holds up the staff, and he says, "Now stretch the staff over the sea." And he stretches it out over the sea. And when he does this, the Red Sea, according to the Bible, the Red Sea parts in half. When the Red Sea parts in half, he puts his staff down, and the Red Sea stays parted long enough for 3.5 million people to walk through on dry ground. They get to the other side. They're excited. They're joyous until they see that Pharaoh is like, "Well, if they got through it, we're going to get through it too." So he tells his army, "Forward," and they start going through the Red Sea that has been parted. Now, the people who were just excited are now freaking out. "God, again, why are you teasing us? You brought us here, and you got us through this sea, and now they're coming through the same way. You made a way for us, God, but the same way you made for us is the same way it seems that other people are coming through it. God, what are you going to do?" So Moses again tells the people, "Chill out. God got this." Again, I'm paraphrasing. God tells Moses, "Take the staff again, hold it up." So he does. And then he says, "Now stretch it out towards the Red Sea." And he does. And when he stretches it towards the Red Sea closes, and the Bible says Pharaoh and all of his men died, drowned in the Red Sea. And the next day they washed up on the shore. That's what the Bible says. This is in the 14th chapter. We now find ourselves in the 17th chapter. And in the 17th chapter, something happens in the first verses 1 through 6. These Israelites are now thirsty. Why? Because they're in the wilderness. Y'all know when it's like how to be in the wilderness or be in the desert. There's not that much water. Apparently, when they went through the Red Sea, nobody thought, "Grab some of that floating water and take it with us." They got to the other side. The sea closed. They're now thirsty. Three chapters later, they're thirsty. They don't know what to do. They turn to Moses and say, Moses, again, you brought us out here to die of thirst. Moses, if you don't figure this out, we're going to stone you to death. That's what the Bible says. Moses then says, y'all stay right here. Then he turns around and says, God, your people, they at it again. Your people. So what we gonna do, God, because they getting on my nerves. I'm paraphrasing. What do you want me to do? Moses, I'm going to tell you what to do. Moses turns back around, goes to the people. God tells people, take that same staff, hold it up. And when I tell you to hit the rock, and water going to come out of the rock, Moses, and tell them they can drink. Stands before the people, gives them a great speech. It's in the scripture. Read it. I don't have time to go through it. Hits the rock. Bam! When he's done hitting the rock, water flows. People are able to drink. And now they like Moses again. They don't want to kill him no more. Today, they like Moses. And so Moses is like, okay, good. We got through that. That's in the sixth verse. Then two verses later, Joshua comes to Moses and is like, hey, Mo, there's some Amalekites down here that want to kill us, because the Amalekites were afraid of the large number of the Israelites. They knew that they had fled Egyptian captivity, and they were afraid they were coming to take them over. So the Amalekites were like, we better get them before they get us. And Moses was like, what? We just got through the Red Sea three chapters ago, God. And then just two verses ago, God, you got us through this water shortage. Now we're drinking. Everything is good. God, can't we just rest? Can't it just be we have a good day? Why does it have to be one thing after another? Well, why am I saying this? Because I want you to see that Moses is just like you. He's a leader, because we're all leaders in some capacity. Whether you're the leader of your house, whether you're the leader at your job, whether you're the leader at your school, wherever it is, you're a leader on some capacity. And like all leaders, it feels like in life that sometimes things come in a row, and it comes one thing after another, after another, after another. Is there anybody in here that can testify to that? Just one thing after another. Had one diagnosis and we beat that, and now the doctor is saying, hey, come back. We think we found something. Stop looking. You deal with one kid, you get them through their crisis, and the other kid who you thought was real good, now they just all over the place. You deal with one coworker, then another coworker don't like it. You ain't done nothing but show up to work. It's just one thing after another. He just feels overwhelmed. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? But this time, with this situation, it's a little bit different. If you read the scriptures, it never says that Moses went to God to ask God what to do. Why? Because Moses realized how God moved. He realized what God was going to do. He realized that God had given him this staff, and that in this staff was authority. And that whenever he lifted this staff, this authority, that God would see it and God would give them the victory. He already knew this. So he didn't have to go back to God, because apparently there wasn't enough time. He already knew what to do. We're going to go and we're going to see a victory. Here's what we're going to do. And we see it in the eighth verse, that the Amalekites are coming, and Moses tells Joshua, listen, you go down there and fight. I'm going to go up here with Aaron and Ur to the top of this hilltop, and I'm going to get up there and I'm going to pray. And when I pray, we're going to see God move, and we're going to see victory. Are y'all still with me? But this time, it's a little bit different. Hold this for me. Because before, he was able to lift one hand, one staff, and they got the victory. But But this time, he's got to go into prayer. According to worship of that time and of those people, they didn't worship God with one hand. You know how we do now in worship. We real cool. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you're my friend. You're so good. Thank you. One hand up, one hand in your pocket. Are y'all here? If this, some of y'all feel convicted, just look straight ahead. We won't know it's you that worships Jesus real cool. But the people back then, when they prayed, when they worshiped, they were both hands. They were all in. Are you here? So now when Moses is holding the rod and praying, he's not like this. He's like this. And he's got to be like this because this was the posture and the position of prayer and the posture and the position of worship. Are you here? This time is different. He can't do this. He's got to do this. Why is this so important? I'm going to show you in a minute. Don't get ahead of me. Calm down. We'll get there together. But why was this so important? It was so important because this time, this whole situation was entirely different. He goes to the top of the hill, and he's praying. And when he's at the top of the hill, he's praying. He has the staff lifted, and he's praying. And as he has the staff lifted, while he's praying, down here in the valley, Joshua is winning. Joshua is defeating people. While he's praying, they're winning. And standing next to Moses is Aaron and Ur, watching all this go. Like, wow. Wow. That's pretty cool. But the unique thing about this posture, about holding this staff, about holding this responsibility, about holding this, is that it can become a weight. And eventually, over a period of time, it becomes heavy, and the arms of a natural human being begins to go down. The posture changes because the weight of the circumstance and situation is too heavy to bear alone. Are you still here? But they notice something, that as Moses' arms go down, they're looking back in the valley, and now Joshua is losing. And they realize there's a correlation that if the leader keeps his hands up, we're winning. But when it gets heavy and he gets tired because he's doing it alone, we're losing. This time, it was different. Why did God have this time be so different? He had this time to be so different to help you and me and Moses and everybody else understand this. There are times in your life when it's just you and God gets things done through you. But for the majority of your life, that's not how it is. And the reason why is because he wants you to know that he did not create you to be Superman. He created you to live in community, to be around other people that see you, that love you, that are concerned about you, that care for you, that are praying for you, that are lifting you up. He wants you to know that you are not an island unto yourself. This life cannot be lived in a vacuum or a silo. You have to live this life in community. And so the victories that you're going to see in life is going to be because you realize you need some help and that you can no longer do this by yourself. Are you still here? I find it very interesting that up at the top of this hill was Moses, but Moses also had two other people. He had Aaron, which was his brother, and Ur, which was his nephew. So he took people that were close to him to a place that other people couldn't go. Do you see this? There are people that are tight with you. that are close with you, that are family members with you, that you bring to certain places with you. Why? Because they know you, you have relationship with them, and they can say things to you on top of the hill that nobody else can say to you in the valley. Are you here? Dorsey is one of my best friends in the whole wide world. We've known each other since the age of 5 in the Sunshine Band. When we were competing drummers, he won. So then I picked up a microphone and started preaching. Now I win. Let me go back. But he's one of my best friends. And because of that, and because we have history, there are things that he can say to me in private that I would not hear from anyone else. He can say to me, hey, Jay, come here real quick. Hey, man, what's up? Listen. You need a mint. Your breath stinks. Yeah, just giving that as an example. Why is this important? Because I needed that help. Because I can't smell my own. Y'all, let me come down here. Y'all getting chewed. There are times in your life when you need help. Big help, small help, little help. You need help. And you need somebody around you that is willing to say the difficult thing that can help you. And you're not taken back by it because you have relationship that's deeper with them than with anybody else. Why am I saying this? Because there are people that are around you that see you. They see past your title. They see past your responsibility. They see past the weight that you are carrying, and they see that you need help. And they're trying to help you, and they're all around you, but they can't help you if you don't let them. And one of the major reasons we don't let people help us is because of pride. Because we've been doing it by ourselves for so long. I don't need you now. So you come to the show late and now you want to help me and get all the... Listen, if I'm for you, I'm for you. And I'm for you because I want you to win. And I'm not trying to take any light. I want you to win. And you have to be willing to let those people in. Every person should have those type of people around you. And if you don't, you need to shake up your circle. Because you cannot go through life and nobody can talk to you. Or people are afraid to say things to you. Or to bring to your attention things that will help you. Because if you don't let people help you, your arms are down and the team is losing. Your family is losing. Your job is losing. Your church is losing. We're losing the battle, not because God is not victorious, not because God doesn't have the strength to do it, not because people are not in the right places, but simply because you won't let people help you. It's real quiet in here. Put your hand on your chest and say, God, I need some help. Woo. Better yet, put your hand on your chest again and say, God, I will allow the help that you have around me. Because those that are closest to you really see you. And they see you, if they're closest to you, not because they want you to fail. It's because they want you to succeed. I find this really interesting. Moses, and he's often like us, Moses was able to do this one thing that we do as well. You'll find it in Exodus 17 and 9. And I'll read it because I didn't give it to them to put it on the screen. But in the 10th verse it says, so Joshua did as Moses had asked, said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Ur went up to the top of the hill. But if you go one scripture before it, in the 9th verse, it says, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'm going to stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my mind hand. I want y'all to see this. First of all, I didn't see this until just now. Moses had not initially intended for Aaron and Ur to go with him, because he just said, I'm going to go to the top of the hill tomorrow with my hand and lift it up. Thankfully, Aaron and Ur said, you ain't going by yourself. So they ignored his expectations because they knew he needed help. Second part, and this is where we find ourselves a lot, Moses knew that Joshua needed help, told Joshua to get help, but Moses wouldn't take help. And we do this a lot. We give out great advice to other people. Child, you should go get some help. You shouldn't have to do that by yourself. That's too difficult. You should get some help. Yesterday, we were at our church because we're kind of selling some items because we need to raise funds for what we're doing. And there's this older lady that came by who bought a hutch from us that we had at the church. Wasn't a whole lot, a few dollars. She bought the hutch, and after she bought the hutch, I was like, okay, who with you? And she was like, nope, nobody. I got it. Listen, what? She said, I'm stronger than I look. What? I said, listen, I'm going to have my daughters help you because you need some help. It's okay to receive help. And she's like, no, you're in my church. They're going to help you. So when she came back up, my daughters went out there, grabbed it, helped her, took it to her car, put it in her car, gave her help. And she was so appreciative of the help, she gave my daughters $5. She should have gave it to me because I told you needed help. So help is what she knew she did. She couldn't lift that hutch by herself. But sometimes when you're so used to doing stuff alone, you come alone, you think you can figure it out on yourself, and you think that somehow it is a negativity to you to say, yes, I do need help. And I want you to know it would make your life so much easier. And it would make the life of people around you so much easier if you would just accept help. Can you imagine that older lady taking that hutch down there by herself on the elevator to her car, putting it in her car, and she fell down and broke something? Oh, you're not suing us. I told you to get some help. There are things in your life that you can avoid if you just take down the pride and say, hey, I need some help. There are marriages that would still be intact today if both of the people in the marriage said, we need some help. There would be friendships that would still be intact today if people were willing to say, you know what? I got that wrong. I don't know how I got that wrong, but I want to get this right. I need some help. Help. But pride is keeping you out of relationships. Pride is destroying marriages. Pride is destroying your work abilities. Pride is messing you up because you're not willing to say, I need some help. Listen, I know there have been times in your life. I get it. I was there. My mother was like this. She was a single mother. She raised me. I got it from her. We don't need no help. We'll figure it out. We'll do it by ourselves. And that's good to get you through tough days when there's nobody there with you. But that's not how you're supposed to be living sustained. Moses and God was cool in the beginning. But you cannot go sustained without the help of other people. You gotta let other people in. Turn to somebody and say, you gotta let other people in. I don't like how y'all said that. Find somebody else. And turn to them and say, you gotta let other people in. Now, let me show you this before my best friend pass out from standing up here holding his stick all this time. Now, real quick, Pastor Terrence, can you come here? You again. I like your shirt. People with a nice shirt sit on this side. Can you come up here on this side? So you're going to be Aaron, because you look like an Aaron. You look very priestly. And you're going to be because you look like a He's going to get me later. Okay, so what's happening now is that Moses is like, okay, may need some help. Because Moses is seeing as well that when his arms go down, they're losing. Are you with me? And Moses is realizing, wait a minute, maybe I do need some help. Because here, you can't keep going through life like this, winning, losing, winning, losing, winning, losing. Aren't you tired of having a life that's on a roller coaster? You got to get to a place of saying, I want to win and I want it sustained. Everywhere I go, we're winning. Why? Because it's sustained. Why? Because I'm willing to get help. So Aaron and saw Moses, say, hey, he needs some help. First of all, let's help him by getting him a rock so he can sit down and get him some rest. So they found a comfortable church chair on top of the hill. In the Middle East. They then have Moses sit down. Now Moses is getting some rest. But watch this, they're still losing. See, we sometimes think that rest is enough. That, you know, if I just get few days rest, because, you know, I'm finna pull my hair out. If I just get a few days rest and come back to this, I have a fresh mind and I'll be able to figure it out and I can do it to myself. And you don't realize that things are different. And so you go away and come back, whether it's a girl's trip, whether it's the guys going out camping. I did that once, Doug. I might do it again. I don't know. And it was a good thing with the guys. That's what something between you and I. If I go, I'm gonna take Dorsey with me next time. So, but anyway, the resting, it's good, but the resting is not enough, because you can come back rested and still lose. You can send Pastor Doug and Heidi to the Poconos or to Hawaii so they can get some rest, because you feel like they, you know, things ain't going so well. Maybe they need some rest. But when they come back, if all you gave them is rest, you're still going to keep losing. If you in a situation in your marriage or your relationships and you figure out, if I just step back for a minute and then I'll come back to it later because rest it, maybe we can figure this out. No, because rest is not enough to sustain victory. Rest will let you push it up one time. Then you're going to get tired and guess what? It's coming back down. You're going to start losing again. And so Aaron and were next to Moses, and they said, you know what? Rest is not enough. Oh, we know what we need to do. When his hands are lifted, we get the victory. So what we're going to do is we're going to help him lift this staff. Mind you, they didn't touch the staff because they can't touch the staff. The staff is the anointing of God. The staff is the leadership. The staff is the responsibility that was given to Moses, and can't no one else touch it. But you can help lift the hands and the arms of the person that's been anointed by God to carry the staff. Are you in here today? You cannot be Pastor Doug, but you can help Doug lift his hands. Let me come down here again. Y'all too quiet. I know you think you're better than your boss, but you can't be your boss. Your boss has the authority. What you can do is submit a proposal and say, you know, I was thinking about something, and I'm wondering if this would be helpful. And it helps to lift his or her hands and arms. Because you can't touch the authority that they have. It's not for you to touch, but you can help lift the hand that touches the authority. Are you still with me? In your household, man, support your wife. Woman, support your husband. do it together. Share responsibility. Help each other. Y'all got quiet in here. You can support and give rest. So Aaron and Ur grabbed Moses' arms, and they lifted his arms. And lo and behold, when they looked back in the valley again, they started winning again. Why? Because the leader was supported. The leader was rested, and the arms were lifted again. Moses got help that he didn't know that he needed. Are you still with me? Watch this. Thank you, Moses and Aaron and Ur. Y'all give them a hand. Appreciate that so much. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to take my seat. And again, this is something that the media team doesn't have because God gave this to me this morning. 17th chapter, we see that they get the victory because Joshua goes to fight. Moses stays in a place of worship, stays in a place of prayer, and Joshua is fighting. Something else that tells me, everybody has a job, but not all the jobs are the same. Do your job, we will all get the victory. Let me come down here again. Y'all not saying to me. Everybody can do something. Watch this. Is that on? Okay, watch this. Play something real quick. Can y'all hear that? Y'all hear him playing? Sound pretty, don't it? Watch this. Okay, let me go. Hold my microphone. I need the chair because I need to look like you. I need to look like I know what I'm doing because you're doing what I would like to do. I'd like to look like that so I can mimic the look. Are y'all ready? What are we going to play? King of Glory? King of Glory, fill this place. Just want to be with you. Did that sound the same? Okay, y'all clap because y'all nice, but y'all wouldn't come here every week to hear me do that three songs through praise and worship. Want to know why? Because that ain't what I'm supposed to be doing. There's something else I could be doing. Maybe my gift is to be nice and stand at the door and make people feel so welcome and that they're so glad that they stopped at this church and came in this place. I didn't say this first service because it's on my heart to say right now. I don't want you. I hear you, Father. The Lord doesn't want you to ever devalue your participation. Because everybody has something to do, and it's all different, and it's all needed. But we all get the victory. Amen? Come on, give God a quick hand for that word. That wasn't in my notes. So here's the last thing, and I'm done. Close. Watch, last thing. 17th chapter, they get the victory. Jethro, who is Moses' father-in-law, hears about the victory. In the 18th chapter, the next chapter, Jethro shows up and says, hey, Mo. He can call him Mo because that's his son-in-law. It'll hit y'all later. And he brings some of his family members with him, and they're spending time with Moses, and he's just saying to Moses, man, you did such a great job and how you got them out and got them through the Red Sea and you hitting rocks and stuff. Look at you, Moses, up there hitting rocks and stuff and water coming out of rocks and you speaking stuff and holding stuff up and God giving y'all the victory. Moses, you great. Can I hang with you tomorrow? I just want to see how you do in your leadership, you know, of these 3.5 million people. Moses, like, Jethro, you're my father-in-law. I'd be so honored. Come hang with me. The next day, Moses tells Jethro, hey, I'm going to be over here. I got some work I got to go do, but you can meet me over there. Again, I'm paraphrasing. Read it for yourself. He gets over there, and he sits down, and there is a long line wrapped around the cactus. I don't know what's out there. Wrapped around a lot of stuff, and there are thousands of people in line. to come to talk to Moses, to share with them their inequities, their injustices, and their griefs. Moses sits down and he listens to each one and he gives a decision and then he tells them to go. The next person comes in. Jethro comes in and he's sitting back against the wall and he's watching all this. And I would think maybe about an hour into this, he walks up and he says, y'all excuse me for 1 second. We're going to close the session just for 1 second. I need to talk to Moses. Hey, Mo, can you come in? He brings Moses over here and says, hey, Moses, what are you doing? And he says, well, people have issues, and so I have to be there to adjudicate them, to be able to help them. And so Jethro is like, okay, so you are the deliverer. You are the person that helps to make a way out of no way through the Red Sea. You are the person that hits a rock and water comes out of it, and then you got to sit down and listen to everybody's gripes. Yeah, I just want to make sure that everything gets done, because the heart of a leader wants to make sure that nobody's left behind. So I understand, Moses. You want to make sure that you get everything covered. But what Jethro was trying to tell Moses is, hey, Mo, you can't do everything. He tells Moses in the 18th chapter, if you keep doing this, my daughter won't have a husband. Because this is not sustainable. He says to Moses, can I give you some advice? And Moses, because he learned one chapter earlier to take the help, says one chapter later, yes, because help is good, because it just got me through that. So what do you think? Well, hey, Moses, here's what I think you should do. Divide these people into groups. And he goes into this whole mathematical equation for it to make sense. And then you tell those who are over those groups that if it's something that they can't handle, they then come and talk to you. So now you're talking to 12 people as opposed to 12,000. And Moses was like, hey, man, that's great. And he puts it in place, and he puts it in practice, and now the whole group is better. Why? Because Moses learned the value of letting somebody help him. And the help he got from Jethro, he never would have got if he didn't take the help from Aaron and Ur. Because if he didn't take the help from Aaron and Ur, there would have been no Israelites left, because the Amalekites would have destroyed them all. There would be no chapter 18 if there wasn't for him saying yes to the help in chapter 17. There would be no, there's so much that would not have happened if he didn't let somebody help him. So I'm going to say this to you, and I'm getting ready to take my seat. You got to understand. You can start playing me down. You got to understand that sometimes the reason you feel stuck is not because God's against you. It's because he loves you, and he won't let you go any further to go to a situation that is going to destroy you because you're too proud to take help. Do y'all hear this? He's protecting you because he loves you. And he's saying to you, because I love you, I won't let you go any further. Your business won't go any further. The church can't go any higher. Your family will remain in this place, because I can't have you have more if you don't know how to deal with more with the help of people that I've sent to help you. So if you want to get rid of the stuck feeling, say yes to the help. Say yes to the help that's around you. Pastor, what type of help do I need? I don't know, but I'm sure that the people that are around you know and can tell you. Some of it may be clinical. Some of it may be spiritual. Some of it may be a mentor. Some of it may be something else. But take the help. I can preach this because I'm living this. And I'm learning more day by day as we have pivoted from our previous church to this new church, that we can't go to this new place. We can't go from 100 seats to 300, from one service to two services, if I don't allow the people that God has sent to help me. Because I can't be at the door as much as I want to. And be on the drums as much as I can. I can't do the piano, but I can do the drums. Remember I told you he beat me? He beat me, but not by that much. I can't then do the drums and then check with the praise and worship team, then check with the praise and worship team, and then go preach. And then when I'm done preaching, then go back and be at the hospitality booth and make sure everybody, I can't do everything, even though the leader, pastor, shepherd in me wants to do it all. Not because I don't think people can help me, but because I want to do it all. But a leader begins to realize that there are times and seasons when it's just you and God. And then the rest of your life is you, God, and your community. You, God, and your church. You, God, and your loved ones. You, God, and your family. Because he did not design you to live alone or to die alone. If you are by yourself, you've got to take the responsibility and ask yourself, who did I push away? Who do I need to go back to and repent and apologize and say to them, I got them wrong? I'm telling you, it's not easy. But if you start to get the hang of it, it's going to be so good for your life. Can I give you one more key that's absolutely amazing? I only heard yes on this side. Preach it. Okay, here we go. God allows himself to have help. How do I know that? Because it's God the Father, then the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They work together in the Trinity, in triuneness. They work together to make sure that the will of the Father is what is accomplished on earth. They work together. The Holy Spirit goes where Jesus can no longer go because he already did the work that God could not do because he allowed himself to be in different places and different spaces. If God allows himself to have help, you think you're greater than him? And therefore you don't need it? Let's go even further. Maybe you don't understand triune. Cool. Do you understand angels? He's got Michael and he's got Gabriel and he's got other angels and he sends them and he says, go see about Doug. Go take care of Heidi. Go look in on Hope Church. Is it that God couldn't do it? Yes, he could, but he allows help. And then when it comes to humanity, he tells you, you pray. And when you pray, I'll then bring on earth what is in heaven. But I will not do it until you pray. Why? Because he allows you to help him get his will done here. What kind of God is that? And if he does it, you mean to tell me you're so wonderful, so great, so gifted, so smart that you don't need what God allowed? You need help. And so what I'm going to pray today, and I'm going to get out the way, is that we first repent for not accepting help. And some of it is because of our upbringing. Some of it is because of hurt and trauma. You've been hurt by people, so you close not only this person out, but you then close out all people because if this person did this and you didn't see it coming, how are you going to see it coming from everywhere else? Let me help you. You won't, but God will. So don't shut all out because of one. Let them in and then listen to what he says about all next time. Because you were not designed to be alone. You are not designed to go through this life alone. You are not alone. You are not by yourself. You have people that are all around you that love you and that want to help you, but you got to let them in. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice that this word has convicted them and they find themselves in that place of realizing that as this word was being preached, that my God, that was me. I've turned people away. I haven't let people in. I've had hurts that has caused me to shut people out. And I've hurt myself along the way because of the hurt that was done to me. God, I pray that you would forgive me for doing that and help me to let in the right people. Help me to let in the right church, the right community, the right family that wants to see me win, that wants to see me go forward, that wants me to have the best life possible. Because God, you came that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. That abundance is because of friends and family and community. God, help us to do that. It's not always easy, and it doesn't always get accomplished in one evening. But God, let today be the first step, and let tomorrow be another step. Every day, little by little, and that we'll look up at this time next year and see how far we've come, and see that we have friends, and see that we are in the place of letting people help us, and we begin to understand that we don't, I hear you, God. It doesn't matter the mistake we made. We don't have to do, I hear you, Father. We don't have to do life alone. Be encouraged that God loves you and he has the best in mind for you. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. I just heard something while I was praying. I'm gonna come down. And Dorsey, can you grab my stuff? Doug, I'm finna stop. I just heard something while I was praying. Some people, whether you're in here or whether you're watching me, you think you deserve to be alone because of the mistake that you made. I heard it as clear as day. You think you deserve to have to figure it out on your own because of the mistake that you made, because of the bridge that you burnt, because of the things that you didn't get right. But let me help you, dear woman and man of God. Our God is a restorer, and he loves you. And there's no mistake that's too big for his blood to cover. He desires for you to have a fresh start every day. He says in his word that his mercy is new every day. But you can't feel it because you keep dragging the old in from the previous day. I give you permission in the name of Jesus to let that go. Yes, you got pregnant before you wanted to, or yes, you got pregnant before there was a husband in the scene. Hey, boo, let that go. That was 20 years ago. That was 10 years ago. That was 5 years ago. You are a new creature. There's new things that God has for you. Don't allow that to stop you from discovering all of who you are and all of who God wants you to be. Don't let a mistake harbor your growth in him. So let it go. And let him heal you. I hear you, Father. Let him heal you. Let him restore you. And know that you can have friends again. And you can have healthy relationships again. It can be good again. But you got to let him in, who will let you know who to let in. So can I pray one more time and then I'll stop, Doug? Because if I don't, I'll keep going. I'm going to pray one more time. Can I pray one more time? If this is you, and if you are so bold to stand, I would love to pray with you. I'm not going to come to you, lay my hands on you. I just want to pray with you. If this is you, stand. And what I would now love is for the community that's around those people to lay your hands if they allow it, gather around them if they allow it, and let's pray for them and let them know they are not alone. So come on, look. See if there's anybody around you. There's somebody right there, somebody right there. There's somebody right there. Come on, let's move. This is ministry. This is what the work of ministry is. This is your opportunity to be help to somebody else. You don't know what they walked in with today, but I promise you, they don't have to leave here with it. Father, I thank you for this word. that brings light. And the light shines a light on darkness. And it reveals darkness and it tells darkness, you no longer have a space to hide. You cannot hide in their emotions. You cannot hide in the dark recesses of their life. You cannot pop up late at night when they're by themselves and they are consoling themselves by crying on a pillow, thinking that they are not seen and nobody loves them. This is not true. God, you see them. God, you love them. God, you've already forgiven them. And you're telling them to go on, that their past is not their present and it will not be their future. We thank you for victory. We thank you for the chains that bind being broken right now in the name of Jesus, and that they leave this place in the victory that was provided from the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, that they do not have to be bound to the past, that they can live in the presence of freedom, and they can go on to rich and deep relationships that flow out of the presence of God. Thank you, God. They're not the same. Not the same, not the same. And they will forever be changed. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So good, amen. Take a second and pat a back or give a hug or reassure that person you just prayed for. Thank you for your courage to stand and to allow us to love you, be with you. Prayer team, if you would come on up front here on either side. In a moment, I'm going to dismiss, and as you go, any of you that want prayer for anything at all, or maybe you knew you needed some prayer right there and you didn't stand, it's not too late. Or maybe there's something else going on in your life and in your story, and you need somebody just to lift your arms, to encourage you, to stand with you, to pray with you, to be with you. You come for prayer as soon as we dismiss. Before I do our sending blessing, can we thank Pastor Jason for bringing that word this morning? I'm going to send you out with a blessing. So if you want, you can even open your hands as a posture of receiving what God may have for you in this as I bless you. So people of Arise, and people of hope, you are the people of God, loved by God, called by God, empowered by God, created to live in community. So this week, may you lean into your community, helping them, lifting their arms, and allowing them to lift your arms as well. And together, may you bring the love, the life, and the power of God to everyone you meet. So go now and live loved and be love and be blessed and be a blessing. In the name of the Father and the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great week.